Well, like I just mentioned a few minutes ago, I'm the new guy around here, so I'm very nervous. I came, thinking how it's going to be and imagining the worst, but I've been set at ease by meeting with you all and seeing your friendly faces, and thankful for you welcoming me to this fellowship. And Pastor Janke, I'd like to, if it's okay with, in the business meeting later, join the fellowship. If we can do that, that'd be great. But we are, let me tell you a little bit about who I am and the ministry that God has called us to. And this is an amazing story. Dr. Fadena, who's here, is going to be speaking in a little bit, has a part in the story that I'm about to tell you, because it was through his ministry that my mother was saved. Amen. My dad and mom both grew up in the Philadelphia area, and my mom grew up in Levittown, actually, and she got invited to church and just went to church, didn't know anybody. I think a friend of one of her sisters invited her sister, and her sister, my mom's sister, said no. And so my mom felt bad for the girl that invited her, so she said, I'll go. So she just went with this person she didn't really know. And she went to Dr. Fadena's church, and Dr. Fadena preached. And she it was invitation time. She, right there in the pew, she bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. She regrets this, but she never came forward. She never told Dr. Fadena about it. She just left as soon as the service was over. But God had changed her life. God had saved her. And she ended up moving away shortly after that. And now she's the wife of a pastor down in South Florida. And my dad's a pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Margate, Florida. And I've been working as his assistant for 4 years before we started traveling and raising support for this new church plant that God has called us to. And that was when I was in Bible college, God called me to plant a church. And been working toward that, studying for that, and praying about that for a long time. Went to work after seminary, went to work with my dad, and was thinking about planting a church in Florida. But God, while he was preparing us for church planting, God had laid in our hearts an active outreach to the military. This church that we were going to plant had to be close to a military base and have an active outreach to the military. And he did that through actually a tragedy that occurred in our family on May 13th, 2006. My mother-in-law, my wife's mom, was out working in her flower garden out in front of her house. And she looked up from her gardening work to see two Marines step out of their car and walk toward her house. And she, of course, she just broke down right where she was. She knew the message that they brought. Before the Marine said a word, she knew that her son, who was fighting for our freedoms over in Iraq, was not coming back from the war. And so God used that tragedy to touch our hearts and show us, first of all, that the war on terror is real. It touched our family. And, of course, it broke our hearts to lose my brother-in-law, Rick. But God, through that tragedy, God opened our eyes to the need that our military has to hear the gospel. And so God began to use that event in our lives to work in our hearts and show us that we need to do something to reach the military. And so God had called me to church planting already. And so we were praying about that and praying about where we would plant a church and how we would reach the military. And there's no military base around us down in South Florida where we were. And an old friend of my dad's, an old pastor friend, Pastor Dennis Hagin, some of you know him. He's helping us get started there in Bordentown. But he is an amazing story. My dad's story is pretty amazing too. My dad and Pastor Higgins, who's down there in Haynesport, New Jersey, both grew up on the same street and in Philly and hung out on two different corners of the same street. And they did all kinds of bad stuff. They did drugs and all those kind of things. And my dad's crowd would call Pastor Higgins' crowd the old heads, because they were the older guys. And so there were these two crowds of delinquents that were out on the street corners. And somebody just came up to him and gave him a track. And gave everybody in that group a track. And most of the guys, my dad said, threw it back at him or laughed at him. Or he said one guy ripped it up. My dad, for some reason or another, put it in his pocket. And he took that track back to his room when he got home. And he got it out and he read it. And he read it and he said he read it over and over again. And then he bowed his head right there in his room and prayed that prayer that was on that track and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. And so we have a pastor down in South Florida who is hundreds of people probably have come to know the Lord through his ministry. He's had, I'm the oldest of seven, so he's had seven children that are all serving the Lord. God is working now through this new ministry of this church plant that we just started. And it's all because a faithful pastor stood in the pulpit, and he didn't even know at the time that somebody had gotten saved in his service. It's rewards because of that. It's rewards because somebody came up to a guy in the street that looked like a mess and gave him a tract and said, "You need to know Jesus." And he didn't know from the response that he got, the man that gave the tract, he thought it was a waste. But God used it. And so it's amazing little things that God uses along the way, as long as we're faithful to Him. But the Bible says His Word doesn't return void. So God is going to just continue to... I just want to encourage you with those stories to stay faithful to God. And God will use His Word, and God will build His work. We might not always know about it. Dr. Fidenda didn't know about my mom until today. Until I was able to thank him today for his ministry. And and this man who gave my dad a tract didn't know until later that he had gotten saved through it. So just be faithful to God, what God has called you to do, and God will reward. I got off track with this pastor. Pastor Higgins called my dad, and he said, "Hey, there's a military base near us. It's about 44,000 military personnel on the base. There's only a couple of churches here in the area that are reaching these guys." He said, "There's plenty, there's plenty of soldiers and airmen that are here that you could go after." And so through a phone call between my dad's old friend, my dad passed that message along to us. And we came up here and visited the area, and God made it clear that this is where we need to be, near this military base here in New Jersey, reaching the military folks there. And so we moved here this summer. We traveled around for a little bit and raised some support, and then we moved here this summer. And we're looking for places to meet. And God opened up the door after a few months to a hotel. We're meeting in a hotel in Bordentown. We'd actually like to be a little bit closer to the base, but that's what God opened up for us. And it's working out great. We just had our grand opening service a week ago Sunday. Amen. And we had 57 folks come out. Now, that's a lot of helpers. A lot of churches sent help our way. What you really want to know about is what happens after the dust settles on that second service. And so we just had that second service last Sunday. And on our grand opening service, there's 57 people. About, I think there's 18. Somebody said 20. We might have missed a couple that came in the back, my wife said. But we think there was 18 visitors from the community. And then a number of them came back for the second service. We had 18 total on the second service. So Amen. We're praising the Lord for God starting the work there. And in our grand opening service, there's an Air Force man and an Air Force lady that got saved at our grand opening service. So God is answering our prayer that we would have a part in reaching the military. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for you all who are faithfully preaching the word and where God has called you, and thankful for these rewards, these little rewards that we talked about already that you might not even know about, but someday you'll hear about too, how God has blessed in your faithfulness. Thank you so much for what you do for the Lord, and thank you for making me feel welcome here. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Pastor Janky, for having me come, and thank you for your support, your church's support for our ministry. A lot of folks say they're for church planning, but when the rubber meets the road, they disappear, But Pastor Janky has been there for us. He supported us, prayed for us, sent us notes, and we're so thankful for his help in getting this church started. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to be in Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37. And just look at a few verses from this Psalm 37, verse 23. And the theme of this kind of goes along a little bit with this testimony that I just gave about how God can use just our faithfulness to Him. We might not even know about it, but God uses it, and we might hear about it later. But look at Psalm 37, and look at verse 23 of Psalm 37. We'll read 23, 24, and 25. Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Community Baptist Church and for opening up their doors for this meeting today. Thank You for each one of these pastors, Lord, and for using them in the ministries that You've called them to. Thank You for each of these churches that they represent, that they just testified of just a few moments ago. God, what a great thing, what an amazing thing, so exciting to be among these men who You are using, Lord, for Your glory, who are reaching lost souls for You, who are helping Christians grow in You and get closer to You. Thank You so much for these ministries and for using them. And thank You so much for the rewards that You give to us as we serve You. We might not even know about them at first, but as we just heard about today, Lord, You use our faithfulness. Your word does not come back to You void. And so we thank You, Lord, for honoring that promise. And we pray that promise, Lord, would be honored this morning as we look into Your word, that it would not return void unto You, but to accomplish what You please this morning. Please use it in a special way. Lord, please work on our hearts. Encourage us through Your word now as we look into it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 37:23 talks about the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man is what we're going to look at this morning. And so the first thing that we see here, what we got to ask ourselves, is who is the good man that Psalm 37:23 is talking about? So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we're going to look at the place of a good man. Then we're going to look at the prosperity of a good man. And that place that we see is these steps that are mentioned in verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now we're not going to have time to do all this morning. But if you take time to, and I'm sure many of you have, if you take time to look through and study this entire psalm, you'll see that throughout this psalm, there's a contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And how God deals with the righteous and how what He does with the wicked. There's dealings with both of these groups, the righteous and the wicked, and we see that contrast throughout the entire psalm. And it's found in other psalms as well. But that is the theme here of Psalm 37. And so when we ask ourselves the question, who is this good man that the Bible is talking about in Psalm 37:23? Because we know the Bible says there's none good, right? There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us. And we know that there's no contradictions in the Bible. And so we have to understand, we have to look at this and understand who is the good man that Psalm 37:23 is talking about. Well, we would assume that it was somebody who knows in our day and time, in our age that we live in, knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's somebody who, at this time that this psalm was written, who's looking forward to the Messiah who would come and offer salvation. And so, it's somebody who knows God, yes, that's true, but it's more than that. And you can get that from the context of the entire psalm, seeing that it's somebody... It was talking about the contrast between righteousness and wickedness. And so it's not only somebody that knows God, but it's somebody who's following God. Somebody who's actively working righteousness. Because that's the theme here of this psalm. It's somebody who's doing right. Who's living for God. So it's not just somebody who asked Jesus Christ to save them and then, you know, dropped off the mat. We all can bring examples of that up. So, say, talk about somebody that we... gave the gospel to and they accepted Christ, but then, you know, never came to church or something like that. And maybe they're not saved and maybe they do need to get saved. We can't judge their heart. That's up to God. But if they are saved, if they have accepted Jesus Christ, they're not living for Him. They're not doing what God wants them to do. So they're not finding themselves in the place of a good man. And so in order to find yourself in the place of a good man, you need to know God, but secondly, you need to follow God. You need to be actively involved in working righteousness and doing what God has called you to do. And I believe that's you here. I believe you wouldn't probably come to this meeting if that wasn't you, if you didn't find yourself in that place of a good man, that you know God and that you're following God. In the New Testament, we call that person a disciple. Look over with me, mark your place in Psalm 37, and look over at the example that the New Testament gives us of this person who knows God and is following God, who is a good man. Look at Mark chapter 1. So who's the good man in Psalm 37? Somebody knows God and is following God. In New Testament terminology, it is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Mark chapter 1 and look at this call. Jesus is calling his disciples here in chapter 1 of Mark. And look at verse 16 with me, if you would. Mark 1:16 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." I love the book of Mark because there's lots of action. You see straightway, you see immediately a lot. And so it says the disciples, Simon and Andrew, they both immediately, straightway, they forsook their nets and they followed him. Look at the next verse. "And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway," there's that straightway again, "he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." That's the example of the good man from Psalm 37. That's who a good man is. It's somebody who knows God and he's following God. He's doing what God has called him to do. He's following this book the best he knows how. As I was traveling around and preaching in churches, raising support for this church plant that God has called us to, I met a lot of folks who told me after the service that they felt like they were lost, or they didn't have direction. And it's when you're asked about that, it's hard because you want to tell these people the truth. And the truth is that it's not God's fault. It's not a mistake on God's end. He's given us the directions. Here are the directions right here. This book is our directions for life. And so we have it. It's here. The mistake is in the following. That's where the problem comes. People come to church and they hear God's word preached and they leave and they say, "Thank you for the message. Good message," or something like that. But it just really just goes in one ear and out the other ear, and they live the same way they've always lived, and they do the same things that their neighbors do, and they go to the same places that their friends do, and they say the same nasty jokes that their coworkers say, and they're not living for God. They're not following after Him. And so if they feel like there's a lack of direction, it's not God's fault. It's their fault for not following. God has shown them the way. It's right here. These are the directions. But people, a lot of times, Christians, and a lot of times, and we were praying this morning before we got started for our country. Our country's got a lot of problems that it's dealing with right now. It's in a mess right now because of Christians. People that know God, but they're not following God. Amen. They find themselves here. They're not finding themselves in the place of a good man because they're not taking that second step. They know God, but they're not following God. They're not following after Him and doing what He told them to do. And so they don't have that direction. But I believe each pastor here today, and I believe everybody that's here today, probably finds themselves in that place of a good man. They know God, and they're following God. If that's you, praise the Lord, then this next part is for you. And if it's not you, if you're here and you say, "Well, I know God, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm not really doing everything I know I should do. I'm not doing everything that I know He wants me to do." If you find yourself there, the good news is you don't have to say that. That can change today. And you can find yourself today in the place of a good man. And you can start serving God today and following after God today. If you find yourself in the place of a good man, then then you'll be able to claim the prosperity of a good man. Now, I'm not talking about, of course, the prosperity gospel, those guys that are on TV that sometimes we secretly, will turn on and tune into, and sometimes even be a little bit jealous of the crowds that they have and things like that. But those guys, man, they're false prophets. Have your people turn them off. That prosperity gospel is not in the Bible, so of course that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's prosperity. I'm talking about God's success. I'm talking about somebody coming up to you after 50-something years of ministry and telling you somebody that their parent got saved in your church. Yeah. I'm talking about that kind of prosperity. I'm talking about letting God use you for His work. That's the kind of prosperity we find here. That's if you find yourself in the place of a good man in Psalm 37:23, then you can claim this prosperity of a good man that we find in the next, in the rest of this verse, and rest of verse 23, and then in verse 24. And that success that we find there for disciples of God, for people that are following after God and doing what God wants them to do, not only that they're saved, but they're submitting to God's plan for their life. Just like the story of Abraham's servant, remember in Genesis chapter 24? Remember, Abraham sends him on that. What a mission this guy had. What an amazing, that would be a burden, you know, on your shoulders. You have to find a wife for the child of promise. And so this servant goes out there on a mission from Abraham, and he finds the exact one that God had for Isaac. And he says this in Genesis 24:27, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." I being in the way, the Lord led me. What way? What's he talking about? What way? He's talking about the way that God had for him. He's talking about, I'm just doing what God has called me to do, and because of that, God is blessed. Yep. And God has led me to the right place. Yeah. And God honors His Word. It's as simple as that. God honors His Word. And so this is another, Abraham's servant is another example of that good man, somebody who knows God and is following after God, doing what God has called him to do. If you're there, then you can have these benefits of being in the place of a good man. And the first one that we see is found in that verse, in verse 23. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And so God promises that when we know Him and when we're following after Him, God promises that we will have direction. We'll have direction. We won't be lost like some of those people that I've talked to. I mean, these were Christian people that were telling me that they felt like they didn't have direction. And like I said, it's not on God's end. It's on our following. And so if we're following after God like we should, the Bible promises that we will have direction from God. God always honors His Word. God will give direction. God will show us the way that we need to go and show us what we need to be doing for Him. He'll show us that through His Word. And I think that's the strength of independent Baptists. I'm so glad I'm an independent Baptist. I'm so glad my dad is an independent Baptist. I don't ever want to run away from that. I wasn't looking to get into some contemporary church or start some rock and roll ministry, you know, up here in New Jersey. I'm glad I'm an independent Baptist. I'm glad that my family is. I'm glad I was brought up that way, because I think the strength of independent Baptists is in this book. Yeah. We just use this, but we don't have a hierarchy that we go to. We don't have some guy telling us we're being too hard on homosexuals and people that are killing babies. No, we just go to this book, and we let this book guide us, and we let this book direct us.
Right.
And we let God build our ministries by just following His Word. That's the strength of independent Baptists. And God's arm is not short and that it cannot save. God is still working through independent Baptist churches. And I know it's harder than it's been before in the past, and I've heard that so many times as I've been trying to raise support. I've heard so many times how difficult it is, how hard it is, and I know it is. It's hard. It is difficult. But God is still working. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. God saved 2 Air Force personnel last week through a ministry that didn't exist just a few weeks ago. And so God is still working. God is still in the business of saving people. God's promises are still true. God still doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants all to come to repentance. Amen. And so we just need to trust in that direction that we've been given, God's Word. We just need to trust in God's Word, follow God's Word, use that as our guidebook. And that's what I love so much about being an independent Baptist, is that's what we do, and so I'm thankful for that. God's Word is never going to steer us wrong. Just hold to this book. It's never going to steer you wrong. It's never going to take you in the wrong direction. There was a guy that was hired to come into a company, and a professional that was hired to come into a company and coach the employees of this company on how to follow procedures. Because problems would arise in this company, and people wouldn't know what to do. They'd go different places, and they were trying to remind their employees, this company was, to follow the procedures that they had already set up procedures, but nobody was following them. They were all going different ways, and there was confusion every time a problem arose. And so they said, we got to do something about this. So they hired a professional to come in, and he gathered all the employees of this company together in a room, and he was teaching. He wanted to teach his employees how to follow the procedures that were already laid out. And so, to start off his lecture, he gave an example. And he said, imagine that you are aboard the Titanic. And you're on this, and we all know what happened to that ship. You're on this ship, and you're sailing, and all of a sudden, the alarm goes off, and you hear that the Titanic has hit an iceberg, and you're afraid, you don't know what to do. There's a problem, there's a panic has come up. And so, after a while, you find yourself in a lifeboat. And you're out there in the water, and it's dark, and it's foggy, it's misty. You can't see, you don't know where to go, what to do. You're in this lifeboat, you have no direction, you have no guidance. That's you, this professional was telling the employees, that's you without procedures. Now, imagine the same situation. You find yourself on this lifeboat, the Titanic has sunk. You're on the lifeboat, it's dark, it's misty, you can't find your way, you don't know what to do. But now you find out that in the lifeboat with you is the ship's navigator. And he knows where you are, he knows what to do, and he starts giving you direction. Now that's procedures. That's the procedures that we've already laid out for you. This man is telling his company. Well, some smart guy from the back raises his hand. We know those guys that sit in the back that, you know the type. So this guy from the back raises his hand, and the lecturer calls out to him, and he says, wait a minute, that navigator's already steered us into one iceberg. I'm not following his direction. And so that's how it can be sometimes with people. I mean, we make mistakes. We're frail. We do mess up. But God, that's not how it is with God's Word. God's Word is never going to take you in the wrong direction. God's Word will always steer you right. And so just trust in that direction that God promises for you. When you know Him, when you're following Him, the Bible says we have direction. Secondly, not only do we have direction when we know Him and we're following Him, when we find ourselves in the place of a good man, but we also have delight. Look what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's that direction. And He delighteth in His way. So we have direction, promise from God. We have delight. God delights in showing us the way to go and taking us where we need to go and in helping us fulfill His plan that He has for us. God loves to do that. God delights in it. And delight, it means to take great pleasure in something. Sometimes we have trouble with our people getting the concepts of God's Word and understanding it. And it's no problem with this book at all, of course. It's no problem with the language or anything. The problem is with the culture. The problem is with us. The problem is this dumbed-down Hollywood culture that we have, that we're dealing with. And sometimes we have people that have a hard time understanding some things. And I think this concept of delight is one of those things. Because we use the word and we think of snacks or, a breakfast drink, Sunny Delight or something like that. Or we'll meet somebody for the first time and we'll say, delighted to meet you, you know. And we don't really mean that, you know, do we? What this word delight means in this passage here is to take great pleasure in something. It goes beyond like to love. And you say, I like to do that. You know, I like to go mountain biking or something like that. No, I love it. It's the next level above that. It's taking great pleasure in something. That's what the word delight means. Christmas is coming up. Can you believe it? It's already, all the stuff is in the stores and everything already. Wow. Can't believe it.
Unbelievable.
So, we can use the illustration of Christmas presents. You know, you come down Christmas morning, and you find your family's there, and good old Uncle Arnie's there with your family, and he hands you his gift. And you're like, yeah, Uncle Arnie, thank you very much. You already know what it's going to be. He gives the same thing every Christmas, you know? And you open it up, and it's that same sweater with a snowman on it, you know? And you say, thanks, Uncle Arnie, and you give him a hug, and you appreciate the present. But that's the way that we use delight nowadays. Now, this is the way it's used in Scripture. You come down Christmas morning, and you come out to your front door, you open your front door, and in your driveway is a brand new sports car with a bow on it, and your name on there for you. Christmas present for you. That's the difference between like and love, delight the way we use it, and delight the way the Scripture is using it. God takes great pleasure in us, in guiding us, in helping us, in showing us the way that we need to go. Maybe that wasn't the best illustration. You guys were like, I would have never. You wouldn't buy a sports car, but if somebody gave you a sports car as a present, you would go visit some folks in that sports car, wouldn't you? You'd say, I got to make a couple visits in this thing, you know? But that's delight. That's delight, is how much God loves to do, take care of us. Just like when your kids were little, and you'd help them up, and you'd hold their hands and help them learn to walk around the house. That's a fun job. Somebody doesn't have to pay you to do that. You love to do it. It's something fun you love to do, to help your kids learn. That's something that you love to do. And that's how it is with God. He loves to hold our hands, show us the way that we need to go, and tell us what His plan for our life is, and help us along the way. God loves to help us. Notice in this verse, in Psalm 37:23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." So from the steps, from the little steps, from the tiniest detail to the way, to the long haul, God is right there directing us, guiding us, loving to do it, delighting in us. He loves to show us the way that we need to go. From the tiniest little detail, from the steps to the long haul, God is right there with us, helping us and guiding us. And isn't that wonderful to know that no detail is too small for God? We can take the little things to Him. And He's happy about it. He delights in us, the Bible says. He delights in our way, in showing us the way that He wants us to go. And just like He delights in us, just like He loves holding our hand and showing us what He wants us to do, we should delight in Him. The same psalm, back in verse 4. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 37. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When I was about ready to graduate high school, my plan for my life was to join the military. My brother and I were going to join up together. And my brother was a year behind me in school. So I was waiting for him. And during that time that I was waiting for him to graduate from high school so we can go join the military together, God changed my heart and called me to Bible college. And I thought He was calling me away from military folks. And this verse has now proven itself true in my life. I gave up my plan to join the military so I could follow God's plan for my life. I delighted in Him. At that point in my life, I was saying, God, I'm giving my plans to You, and He shall give thee the desires of my heart. He brought me right back around to working with military folks, and giving them the greatest message anybody could ever give anybody, giving them the gospel message, the best way you could ever work with our military. Man, just give them the gospel, the best thing you could ever do for anybody, to give them the gospel. Right. And so I'm so glad that God has, I use that verse sometimes as my testimony verse, God has given me the desires of my heart in working with our military folks and giving them the gospel. I'm so thankful that when we delight in Him, we're just reciprocating His love. We're just showing that delight that He shows us. He loves to take part in our lives and just be there and give us that delight. So we have, back in verse 23, when we find ourselves in the place of a good man, we have the prosperity of a good man, we have direction that's promised to us when we're following God, We have delight. God delights. God loves to hold our hand and guide us and show us where to go. And then thirdly, it says in verse 23, now look at this one. This is the point I don't like. Look at verse 23. Verse 24. Though he fall, the Bible says in verse 24. Now wait a minute, God, we're talking about somebody who knows you and loves you and is following you with all of his heart. And the Bible says he's going to fall. Yes, even in the place of a good man, even in the steps of a good man, when we're doing everything that we can to follow him and do what he's called us to do, there's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be failures. There's going to be frustrations. There will be trouble along the way, and you guys know it probably better than anybody. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be disappointments, even in the steps of a good man. Even when you're following God, there will be problems. We live in the same sin-cursed earth that everybody else lives in, so we're going to experience those same problems that everybody else does, of disease and all kinds of, family problems and flat tires and all that stuff. I love it when people give testimonies at church and say, I got a flat tire, and God was really trying me, and the devil was really going after me. And everybody gets a flat tire, It's not that big a deal. But God, there will be problems. There will be troubles. There will be trials. As we serve God, we live on the same sin-cursed earth as everybody else, like I said. But added to that, the Bible says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we're going to even have more added to that as we're serving God. And there will be problems. There'll be hard times. There'll be difficulties. But even though that disappointment is there, isn't it so nice to know that you can take that disappointment to one who's been there too? Yeah. Our Jesus Christ, who has suffered and been, the Bible says, marred more than any man. He's been through more than we'll ever go through as far as difficulty goes. He's been through the heartache. He's been through the pain, and sometimes we forget that a little bit. We know it in our heads, but we forget that in a feeling sorry for ourselves. That Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He went through the same difficulties that we are going through, and so just take it to Him. Just let Him comfort you and help you in your troubles. Because they're going to come. They're going to be there. Disappointments will arise even when you're following God. The Bible promises it. I don't like that promise, but it's there in verse 24. But the great thing is the verse doesn't end there. There's not a period after that fall. Look at the rest of the verse. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Yes, there will be disappointments. Yes, there will be difficulties. When we're serving God, those things will come. But praise the Lord, the verse doesn't end there, and the verse promises that there will always be deliverance. When we're serving God, there will be disappointments, but there will always be deliverance. His hand is there too. The Bible says, uphold us. He's not going to utterly, let us utterly be cast down. Utterly means completely, totally. We're going to mess up, we're going to have problems, but we're not going to be totally wiped out. Because God is there to uphold us with His hand. Listen, I've found my dad has taught me that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, right? I'm sure many of you have that same thing that you try to teach your people that you're working with in your ministry. Well, this word upholdeth here is found a few other times here in Scripture. And it's translated in different ways, and we can look at those ways that it's translated and see some more insight into what God is talking about here when He says we're going to mess up, we're going to fall, but God's going to be up there to uphold us. The word upholdeth here, this same Hebrew word is found in the book of Judges, and it's translated born, speaking of the strength and support of the pillars that Samson placed his hands upon. In the temple of Dagon there. And so it's in that scripture, it's talking about strength. It's talking about support. It's translated sustain in Psalm 3:5. And it's talking about being taken care of. God is taking care of His people, sustaining them. It's translated rest in 2 Chronicles 32:8, speaking of our reliance upon God. And so we see all of those wonderful things are found in God's mighty hand that's there to uphold us, give us that rest. We can rely on Him. We can find strength in Him, our sustenance. He's there to bear us up and give us that support and strength that we need. All of those wonderful qualities are found in God's mighty hand that's there to uphold us. And so praise the Lord that even when we're going through difficulties and trials in our life, God is right there offering that deliverance to us. When we're in the place of a good man, we can have that prosperity of a good man. We always have direction right here from God. We know that God is delighting in our ministries because He delights in our lives and showing us the way we need to go. There's going to be disappointments, yes, but God's always there to offer that deliverance. Spurgeon said it this way: "No saint shall fall finally or fatally. He shall be brought on his knees, but not on his face. Where God's grace does not keep from going down, it shall save from keeping down." Praise the Lord for God's wonderful promise of His deliverance when we're serving God, when we're doing what He's taught us to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much that when we're serving You, when we're doing what You've called us to do, just like I believe every man in this room is, God, and every lady as well, Lord, I pray that You just remind us, Lord, that we just need to keep staying faithful to You. And God, You'll be there for us. You'll give us that direction that we need through Your Word. God, You'll delight in every part of our lives. There's no detail too small for You. Thank You so much for that, that You care for us in such a way. Thank You, Lord, that although there will be disappointments and difficulties in our lives, God, that's not the end. You're always there to offer that deliverance with Your mighty hand is there to uphold us. We can find our strength and our rest and our sustenance in You. And so thank You, Lord, for these wonderful promises from Your Word, that when we love You, when we're following after You, when we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, that we can claim these promises, that You will be faithful to us and that You'll help us in these ways. Thank You for this encouragement from Your Word today. Please bless the remainder of this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Appreciate that.
All right, that was good. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to use that outline if you don't mind. I'm a collector of outlines and sermons. Let's just stand for a minute and stretch. How many of you know the chorus, "The windows of heaven are open"? Anybody else? The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy. And that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. Amen. Please be seated. While we're waiting for Brother Fedena to come upstairs, Brother Dave's going to lead us in another chorus that has to do with the sermon we just heard.
All right, so this is in that Psalm 37:25. I have been young.